We now have a new challenge, perhaps the most monumental in recorded history. The opportunity to investigate a phenomenon that could change our destiny. A look at ourselves 1,000 years in the future.
We're going to examine and perhaps question some widely held theories of what may have happened to this Earth of ours. We're going to investigate some strange and bizarre events in the present. Unbelievable happenings, as fresh as today's headlines. And more important, perhaps, we're going to take a searching and scientific look into the future. We're reaching more and more out into space. Perhaps, as we may learn, someone, something, somewhere in space is reaching out to us.
Who the visitors are, where they're from, and what they want is unknown.
Bigfoot was attracting national attention and was now rapidly becoming the most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
Many people have seen ghosts and reported incredible experiences from the realm of the spirit world. Who can tell what this young man will see as he falls deep into a trance?
Welcome to After Dark Radio with your host, Brian Alvarez.
Good evening, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, Dark Matter Radio Network, here every Friday, 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. Got a lot of stuff to get into today. We are live. Last week was a taped show. I had to head down to Portland, Oregon for my return to the pro wrestling ring, believe it or not. First match in 4 years, probably last match for another 4 years. I was laying on the tennis ball all day today, trying to loosen up my back. But we are here live again, and quite a show we've got here tonight. Very special guest, the author of 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities. Marie D. Jones is going to be on the show here today, and we are going to talk about numbers. And I was reading her book, which is available on my Twitter account right now, if you want to head up there, at Brian Alvarez. I'll give a little plugs here in a second. But I was reading it, and there is a section at the end with a lot of different number coincidences. Many of you are probably well aware of the one involving Lincoln and Kennedy. A lot of very interesting coincidences in the lives of Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy, their life and death. So there are a lot of interesting things about that at the end of the book. And one of the interesting things is, I don't have it in front of me here. I could probably pull it up. In fact, I may at the end of the show. It's actually that interesting. There is a mathematical formula where you take your phone number and you do a series of additions, subtractions, multiplications, divisions. And at the end of the day, when you hit the equal button, it's your phone number. Maybe that doesn't sound quite as interesting as it actually is when you do it. I may do it here live on the air just for fun, but that's in the book. So a lot of interesting things to talk about. Somebody on the one of the callers recently, actually was quite a few months ago, actually called in and was talking about the 1111 phenomenon. What is that? Well, say you're, actually, we're about to come up to 1111 right now. I was actually going to call Marie at 1111 just to, you know, make this even more coincidental, even though it was planned. But he noted that this 1111 phenomenon is a situation where as you go through life, everywhere you look, you see 1111. Maybe every night you happen to wake up and you look over at the clock and the clock reads 1111. Maybe you woke up on Saturday and you just happened to wake up at 11:11. Maybe you've got to get some blinds in your house and you run through the, you Google blinds in your city and the phone number is, say, 482-1111. Everywhere you look, you see this 11:11. That is the phenomenon here. Some people, if you Google this on the internet, this has taken over their lives, essentially. I never see 1111. I mean, I'll see it because I'm now looking for it tonight. We're going to be at 1111 in about 6 minutes. But I don't notice this in my life. I never see 1111. But if you look online, you will find all sorts of people who all the time, every day, in everything, they see 1111. And for some people, it kind of drives them crazy. Not like, you know, clinical. But after a while, you see 1111 so much and you start thinking, what is going on? And so that is what this book is about. What is going on with this 1111 phenomenon? And so we are going to talk about that. This book, by the way, is available on Amazon.com. There's a Kindle paperback and audio version. And I am somewhat disappointed to see that the paperback is $11.77 and not $11.11. But we are going to be talking to Marie D. Jones about that here on the program this evening. So it's going to be a fun time. As always, we've got all sorts of different things to talk about on the program here today. Got a lot of different news stories covering all sorts of things, including gorillas that are mourning the death of Robin Williams. We've got a story on a doll. Everyone loves these haunted dolls. This is not just a haunted doll. This is a doll that ages. Now, obviously, if you've had dolls, they all age. But this doll aged in a different way. This doll grew wrinkly. We're going to talk about that here on the program today, as well as a lot of other different topics. You are welcome to join the fun this evening. How do you do that? Well, we've got a lot of different ways. First off, I'd like to direct you to the website, which is AfterDarkRadioShow.com. That is the website, AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Everything you need to know about contacting this program is right there at the top of the page. There are our contact numbers. We will be taking phone calls, I'd say, for about the next 20 minutes or so, open line phone calls. We've got a number of different phone numbers. If one's not working, try another. Those numbers, toll-free, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. If that number is not working, we've got the West of the Rockies line, which is 425-488-0525. That is 425-488-0525. We've got the East of the Rockies line, which is 425-482-1686. That is 425-482-1686. And all of these numbers are up at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I am at Brian Alvarez. I will be checking out my Twitter throughout the evening if you'd like to contact me there. And if you don't feel like calling in, but you've got a lot that you would like to say, you are welcome to send me an email. My email address, Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. Make sure you put After Dark in the subject line. Please make sure you put After Dark in the subject line. And we will take as many emails as we get this evening. One other thing, if you're calling on the east or the west of the Rockies line, I'm going to let you in on a secret. We do not, in fact, have 15 million listeners. So, if the line you are calling is busy, I will allow you to call on the other line. So give us a call tonight. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Dave from Wisconsin.
What's up, Dave?
Not a whole lot, but in the show 2 weeks ago, I believe you got an email, or there was a story about all the holes in, forming in, like, Siberia or in Russia in general, and we don't know the origin of them.
That's correct, yes.
And then the one thing that you brought up was the well to hell. And this actually got me looking up all the clips and all the stuff about it. And then I found out, basically just wanted to tell you it was a hoax. It's a sound clip from a movie, 1972 movie, Blood Baron. It even has its own Wikipedia page.
Blood Baron?
Yeah, it's a sound effect from a movie called The Blood Baron, 1972 movie. They take some screams from a scene apparently, and they loop and layer them. It's a pretty simple audio trick.
I see.
When I looked this up, essentially what I found was I found the clip from the Coast to Coast AM segment, and then immediately in related videos on YouTube was calling it out as a hoax and then proving it.
I was aware that it was a hoax. I just was unaware of where the actual audio clip came from. I knew because I remember first hearing about it long before it was on Coast to Coast. I had heard about it in Weekly World News, if you remember that tabloid. And I, you know, yeah. the Art Bell story was the exact same story from the Weekly World News. So I knew it was a hoax, but I didn't know where they had gotten the audio. And that was really the only disconcerting thing, because I was always hoping it was not audio of like some real life torture somewhere. So I'm glad to know it was just from a movie.
Yeah. In fact, this actually, I believe I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now. And I believe it was the rumor started in 89. And I think the Weekly World News published it in, I want to say, 92.
Yeah.
So it's been circulating from then to the internet to now. But I mean, the idea of super, like, I don't know, first off, mysterious holes disappearing that aren't like, can't be proven what happened is, well, it's kind of scary. I mean, just, you know, sinkholes that form and then you lose everything. But I was hoping this was more related to the Kola super deep borehole that the Soviets did actually drill.
Yeah, I have no idea. These are the Siberian holes. There are a lot of them. That's one important detail. There's more than one that has been discovered, to the best of my knowledge, and I don't know what they are.
I don't think anyone does.
But, why don't you check Wikipedia for me?
Call in there. what'd you say? Sorry.
Check Wikipedia for Siberian boreholes and see what you can determine.
Okay, just a second. Siberian.
Now you do it here on the air. I could have done that. Go ahead.
Oh, well.
We got a little time. What do you find?
Yeah, there's, I got the no results.
No results? Man.
Yeah. I can search Google. Yeah, that'll bring up all the stuff you probably see, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Searching Google basically just brings me to the hell sound clips, probably because Google's thinking I'm looking that up right now, but.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got. Looking forward to the show tonight. I don't know, maybe you could bring up Jim Carrey's movie, The Number 23. That's about the only thing I know about this number obsession thing.
Do you ever see 1111 anywhere?
No. About the only thing that I can ever recall people obsessing about was November 11th, 2011 at 11 p.m. 11 p.m., 11 minutes, and 11 seconds.
Because that's right.
Something about wishing or whatever.
Something about wishing? I hadn't heard that part of it.
It's I'm a younger guy than you, Brian, so you've got...
That's true.
If you're lucky, you don't have to deal with people who have weird obsessions.
I see. You know, I think, David, if I recall correctly throughout the history of this show, usually you're leaving the bar at about 11:11.
Maybe your time, but for me, that's probably around...
2:11.
2:30-ish.
Yeah, 2:11. I'll bet you anything, if we go back in history, you're leaving the bar at about 11:11 Pacific every single time you've called this show.
Most times.
Are you on your way out of it right now?
No, I quit drinking.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm proud of you. Good work.
Thanks.
All right, Dave.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the call. There you go. I was unaware that he had kicked the bottle, so to speak. We are taking phone calls here tonight. We are live on After Dark Radio here on the Dark Matter Radio Network. You know the phone number, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525, or east of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Give us a call right now, whatever's on your mind, particularly if you are somebody who is always seeing 1111. I want to hear from you. And apparently there are alternative numbers that people see. Sometimes they see 111. They see 111 all the time. So if you are one of these people and it's driving you batty, you can't help but notice it right now, I want you to give me a call at any of those numbers. Doug here. Doug says, Brian, this is an email, by the way. My background is physics, which includes a lot of mathematics. That's correct, by the way, which is why, as an aside, when I was in high school, I took physics, and I didn't get it. I did not know what was going on. I loved the concept of science and physics and such, but I didn't get it. And it's probably due to my teacher, whose name I won't mention because I don't remember. But the point of this is, this physics class was so hard that this is a true story, as God is my witness. On the final, I got a 4 out of 100. A 4. And so I thought, I'm going to go through, I've been in school for however many years, 11 years or whatever. I've never failed a class. But clearly, having received a 4 out of 100 on the final, I'm failing this class. So later we go and we get our grades. And apparently, everybody had done so badly on the final that my 4 out of 100, 4% on the final, I received a C minus in the class. So physics was just never the same for me after that. It's also the class where there was a, we watched, they turned off all the lights and they did a strobe effect. I don't even know why. I can't even remember what the experiment was or whatever. But they turned off all the lights and they did the strobe effect. And I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of, you know, I was in the second row. And so there was a row of people in front of me. And I'm watching this thing and I don't know what's going on, you know, because I got a 4 on the final. And anyway, I'm looking and the kid in front of me just head down on the desk. Apparently had a seizure as a result of the lights out and this this strobe effect. So anyway, this is a hell of a class. So anyway, Doug here says, my background is in physics, which includes a lot of mathematics. I'm very conscious of numbers at all times. I can tell you that your idea that 11-11 is always popping up all around us is bogus. If that is the case, what about 1-2-3-4 or 1-0-2-4? I have to say that I can't even remember the last time I saw 11-11 anywhere, at least in my environment. He says, that's my 2 cents worth, and it is worth every penny. Listen, Doug, I don't see 11-11 anywhere. I never noticed this. But there are a subset of people who insist that in their lives, it is everywhere. They see it everywhere in everything that they do during the day. And so we will talk to our guest here tonight, Marie D. Jones, about that in a couple of moments. People see it enough that a book has been written about it. 11-11, the time prompt phenomenon. We will be interviewing Marie here in just a few moments. Also, we've got this. This is from Darren, also sent to the email. He says, following up on the psychic pets talk, one of our regular customers, you might recall that Darren here a couple of weeks ago sent some information about some books that he had at his bookstore about psychic pets. We talked about this on the program. He says that one of our regular customers in the bookshop I work in were a nice but eccentric married couple, always dressed head to toe in white. The lady and the couple always claimed to be psychic and would tell the staff if she saw spirits watching over them or had messages from past family members. One day I was serving her, exchanged pleasantries. He's a very English fella, this Darren. And she dropped into conversation how her dogs really liked it here. I stared at her blankly, and she said she was walking them here today. I looked around. There were no dogs. She then told me that the dogs had died several years ago, but that she had discovered their spirits had stayed with them, and she had been able to get in tune with them and carry on the relationship with them, even taking them for walks. And she seemed very sincere. That there is from Darren. This woman had haunted, maybe not haunted, she had ghost dogs that she took for walks. Apparently took them here to the bookstore. So that is from Darren, ghost dogs. I wish that I could see the ghost of the cat we had to put to sleep. Very sad story. Never anything resembling that regarding that cat. Some people, when their pets pass away. In fact, my uncle, he had a cat. And by the way, this is just aside, he is known as Crazy Uncle Wayne. Wayne had a cat. And one day he came home from work and the cat was just, it had just passed away. It was just dead. He's only about 4 years old. He presumes there was tainted pet food. But anyway, he insists that to this day, he will see this cat out of the corner of his eye all the time. And I have never seen this, but at least with my deceased cat. But he insists that he sees that cat. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Ryan. I'm calling from Northern California.
Ryan, what's up?
Hey, Brian, I don't know if you remember me, but I talked to you about 4 or 5 months ago, and I was the one that originally called up and brought up the 1111, and you were asking for people that have experienced this, either blessing or curse, depends on how you look at it, and here I am calling you up.
All right, well, have you been listening to the show?
Oh, yeah, I've been listening to the show since its inception. In fact, I've been listening to your show since before it came on to Art Bell's Dark Matter.
If
it wasn't for you bringing up Art Bell and all that in your previous wrestling podcast, I would have never known who Art Bell was or when he came back. And if it wasn't for the 1111 and the different, I guess, avenues it's opened up to, broaden my perspective in life, if it wasn't for all that, I probably never would have stumbled upon it. So in theory, you've been a great connection to it, and I appreciate that.
Wow. So it's because of me that you're aware of Art Bell.
Yeah. And I think
mind-blowing.
6 weeks and all the different people he interviewed, and it opened up such different just this different perspective that never knew existed and all that, and from his guests and your guests that you've had on as well. So yeah, it's real great. And this lady you're having on tonight, she wrote this book, and I've read this book, and at first when I read the book, I was kind of disappointed because I thought I was getting a first-hand perspective of someone else who's experienced it just like I have, and she hasn't. But what she has done is that with all the other books that I have read, is that this is a great, I call it 1111 for dummies, for those that haven't heard about it or experienced it. When you talk to someone like me or others, you get so much information so fast, it sounds like somebody's speaking Chinese. But when you read this book, you kind of dulls it down, and it makes sense to people. And it's a book that I lend out to people who are interested, but you don't want to, like, you don't want to overdose them on it.
Sure.
You give them this book. Yeah, you give them this book, and they read it, and they go, oh, okay, I got a better idea. They don't know what the heck anybody's talking about, but at least it gives them some sort of perspective on what's going on.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because we just, you've been listening to the show, so you heard the email from Doug. I'll read it again here very quickly. It's short. He says, my background is physics. It includes a lot of mathematics. I'm very conscious of numbers at all times. I can tell you that your idea that 1111 is always popping up all around us is bogus. He says he can't even remember the last time that he saw 1111 anywhere. And I presume that you are here to state that, in fact, you do see this everywhere.
Oh, I do, and it's understandable to those that don't go through it to understand that this might be something crazy, or that the people are thinking about it are crazy. But it happens to everybody of all walks of life. From what I've read on the internet and the different books and the people I've spoken to, there's no common link to any of us. I'm a regular dude. I'm married. I have 3 kids. You know, some people are younger, some people are older. There's books that go back many years. Yuri Geller wrote a book. Solera wrote a book. Carl Jung has written a book on synchronicities and stuff like that. And Dave from Wisconsin is the reason I actually called him, because I really like Dave, and I like the fact that he calls in a lot, and he always helps contribute to the show. But he called it an obsession, and it's not an obsession. There's nothing we can do to...
You can't help it.
You can't. You know, Brian, and I'm not going to sit here and list the million things like I did last time, because it gets jumbled up, and there's just so much information out there. But it's not something that we chose. It's not something that that we look forward to every day. I got called a blessing or a curse because nobody knows what it means. Nobody knows if there is a meaning out there. Nobody knows if it's some sort of mind control that only some people that are very observant can pick up. Some people don't know if it's someone trying to reach out to you. There's so many different theories out there, but the one thing for people that are going through it like me, it's no matter what we read, what we see, nothing ever touches close to home, like, okay, that's it, or that's it. It's just continuing. And all these books that you read and time you invest into it, and there's still no answer, that's the crazy part.
Now,
you can't find.
This is not just, twice a day you see 1111 on the clock. This is 1111. Is you see it everywhere, correct?
Yeah, let me go ahead. Yeah, it's 1-1, it's 11, it's multiples of 11, it's 1-2-3-4 is a big one.
Oh, he asked about that, if it was 1-2-3-4, so you see that as well.
Yeah, Yeah. So the 1234 actually is another one I see a lot, which is kind of freaky, is 1134, which if you turn it upside down, it means hell. So I guess if you're really religious, then that can kind of get you. But you see them. And I've mentioned this last time, and I'll mention it again, because it's the only one I can find that's firsthand from someone that's gone through it. It's a guy by the name of Steve, and his last name is Pavlina. It's Pavlina. And he wrote just a blog on it once. And it's got a bunch of hits, and it explains it even better. But what he said was, once you read it and you realize, okay, this is happening to you, you can't stop it. Once you say, okay, I accept it, now I want to see it, now show me what it can do, you start seeing it even more. And I did that, and I accepted to open up my walls of reality, is what he calls it. You just accept anything and listen to anything, and don't have narrow vision in life. And, oh, yeah, now it's even more relevant everywhere. And not only do you see it, but, and it comes up in addresses and receipt numbers and, like you were saying earlier, on phone numbers and stuff like that. But little tiny things start making funny sense. When we bought this house, my wife and I had two houses we had to choose from, and we ended up choosing this one. And then later, my wife, one day, she goes, hey, if you add up the numbers on our address, it adds up to 11. That's funny. When I was coaching baseball earlier this year, my wife said to me, you know, what if one of the kids got an 11 jersey, and I have two kids that play baseball? One got a 6, one got a 5, that equals 11. It's funny stuff like that. So it's not something that keeps me up at night. It's something that, you know, of course, it bugs me, or it intrigues my curiosity. But in the end, you know, it's still go on business as usual.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call, and that was a great primer. So thank you very much, and we're going to head to Marie D. Jones right now. She is going to be talking her book, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities. Coming up in just a moment here on the Dark Matter Broadcasting Network. Back here on the show, everybody, and as they say in the world of pro wrestling, plans change. Got a change of plans here tonight. As it turns out, we are going to have to reschedule this interview with Marie D. Jones. I just called during that break, and apparently Marie has been sick, and so she is unable to do the show tonight. We did not get a any information about that until I called. So no time to change plans, but that is all right. We are apparently going to get my producer Garrett in contact with her this weekend, and hopefully reschedule for a later date. So I greatly apologize to everybody for that. I guess these things happen, and not a lot you can do about that. So I guess in that case, the show, as they say, must go on. And so what we're going to do tonight is just continue. That means that the phone lines are going to be open for the duration of the program. The email bin is going to be open for the duration of the program, the Twitter as well. And hey, we couldn't get Marie Jones here on the program, but we can still take your stories about 11/11, this time prompt phenomenon. Are you one of these people that has been experiencing this? If so, today is the day to give us a call. And of course, in the spirit of Coast to Coast AM, with Art Bell, the open lines means these lines are open. You can call about anything. If you, what have we been talking about today? Ghost dogs, haunted animals. We have talked about virtually everything in the past. Bigfoot, UFOs, after death. We talked about life after death 2 weeks ago. So if you have comments on anything, you are welcome to give us a call. Let me throw out all of the numbers again. Want to direct everybody to the website, which is, of course, afterdarkradioshow.com. Everything you need to know is up there about this program. The phone numbers, toll-free, 855-478-4478. That is toll-free, 855-478-4478. West of the Rockies, you can give us a call, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, we are 425-482-1686. Give us a call, and we'll have some fun here on the program tonight. Since Marie is not on the show this evening, as promised, we are going to do a number experiment here on the air. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up her book here on the Kindle device. If you've got the book, I guess you can play along. It is in the final chapter, which is anomalies. We're going to, there's actually a lot of different anomalies here. There's a look at all of the numbers 1 through 100 and all of the anomalous things about each of those numbers. You may not be aware, everybody, but 79 is a permutable prime. I don't even know what that means, but that's incredible. So anyway, we're going to go here to this this test. If you have got a phone number, you can play along with me. So if you're listening right now, I want you to take your phone number, and what we'll do is I'm going to do it first. So I will give you all of the numbers that I'm plugging into this, and then I will tell you what the result is. And then after I do it, we're going to do the exact same thing if you're listening along with your phone number, and see if this thing works for everybody. So as soon as I get to it here, this appendix has got 8 million different things. All right, here we go. I've got a calculator. Make sure you've got a calculator to do this thing right here. So what you do is first you key into the calculator the first three digits of your phone number. So let's use the East of the Rockies number. This is the first three digits, which is called the exchange. So not your area code. So for 425-482-1686, we're going to type in 482. You multiply that by 80. You add 1. You multiply by 250. Now you add in the last four digits of your phone number, which would be 1686. You add the last digits in again, 1686. You subtract 250, and then you divide by 2. And what comes out? 482-1686, which is, in fact, my phone number. So if you'd like to play along, I won't screw you up by giving you my phone number. If you are listening now, get a calculator and get your phone number. Now let's find out if this works for you. This is apparently numerology, which was going to be the topic tonight, but we'll do that on a different day. So if you've got your calculator, I will read this out to you and you can give it a shot. First off, type into the calculator the first three digits of your phone number, not the area code. The first three exchange digits of your phone number. Now multiply by 80. Add 1. Multiply that by 250. Now add in the last four digits of your phone number. Now add the last four digits of your phone number again. Subtract by 250. And then divide it by 2. Is that your phone number? If it is, you win! That means you get to call the show. 855-478-4478. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Give us a call here on the program. Looks like, based on feedback here, a lot of people won the contest. It was your phone number. Amazing how that works. Let us see what people are saying on Twitter. We got a lot of news stories here as well, so we'll get into those here in just a second. Joey here says, if you are talking odd numbers showing up, look into the number 33. He says, for some reason, it always seems to be 33 people killed, or, for example, 33,000. So apparently Joey does not see 1111 everywhere, but everywhere he looks, he sees 33. So there you go. Let's see what else we've got here. Don't forget the email address, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. And are you pro or con 1111? We've already got the email from Doug. So if you happen to be pro 1111, you are welcome to call in as well. Lee here says, it's worked. So Lee, you win. The phone number game works. Maybe we'll do it again one more time at the end of the show if you happen to not get a chance to do it yet. All right, let's look at some of the interesting stories that we have here today. All of you, I'm sure, are well aware of the death of Robin Williams. This article here is from Slate.com. It is called, What Do Talking Apes Really Tell Us? The Strange, Disturbing World of Coco the Gorilla and Kanzi the Bonobo, I believe is how you pronounce it. Every time I pronounce it, my wife informs me that I'm pronouncing it wrong. So one of these days, I'm going to get it right by thinking I'm pronouncing it wrong. It says here that last week, people around the world mourned the death of beloved actor and comedian Robin Williams. According to the Gorilla Foundation in Woodside, California, we are not the only primates mourning. A press release from the foundation announced that Coco the Gorilla, the main subject of its research on ape language ability, capable in sign language and a celebrity in her own right, quote, was quiet and looked very thoughtful when she learned about Robin Williams' death, and she later became somber as the news sank in. Williams, described in the press release as one of Coco's, quote, closest friends, spent an afternoon with the gorilla in 2001. The foundation released a video showing the two laughing and tickling one another. At one point, Coco lifts up Robin Williams' shirt to touch his bare chest. I seem to recall Robin Williams had a hairy chest, so maybe the ape was bonding in that way. They were tickling each other. In another scene, Coco steals Williams' glasses and wears them around her trailer. These clips resonated with people in the days after Robin Williams' death. The video amassed more than 3 million views. Many viewers were charmed and touched to learn that a gorilla forged a bond with a celebrity in just one afternoon, and 13 years later not only remembered him and understood the finality of his death, but grieved. The foundation hailed the relationship as a triumph over interspecies boundaries, and the story was covered in outlets from BuzzFeed to the New York Post to Slate. Now, the big question here, obviously, is brought up here in this next paragraph. The story is a prime example of selective interpretation, a critique that has plagued ape language researchers since the first experiments. Was Coco really mourning Robin Williams? How much are we projecting ourselves onto her and what we are reading into her behaviors? Animals perceive the emotions of the humans around them, and the anecdotes in the release could easily be evidence that Coco was responding to the sadness she sensed in her human caregivers. But conceding that the scientific jury is still out on whether gorillas are capable of sophisticated emotions does not make headlines. So the question I have is, if this is an ape that is capable of communicating via sign language, even to a limited degree, can you ask the ape? Can you try to get a straight answer out of the ape? Can you ask the ape pretty much flat out, are you sad because your friend is dead? How much is this ape capable of communicating? That is obviously the big question. It says here that Coco, who met, of course, Robin Williams, at the end of the day, when Coco was told about Robin Williams' death, the gorilla sat, quote, with her head bowed and her lip quivering. So, I don't know. I don't know. I've always been interested in animal communication, as everybody listening to this is very, very well aware. It is, of course, very controversial. There is a degree of communication that we have with animals, but to what degree can we communicate? I've mentioned many times I can't like have a conversation, obviously, with my cats. But my cats have learned certain words. They know the word dinner. And by the way, if nobody believes me, just come over to my house and I will sit downstairs in the middle of the day. And if I say the word dinner, every single cat will leap to its feet and start running to eat. They know that word. They know snack. They know paper. They know toy. There are probably a dozen words that they know. Now, granted, if I said, binner or winner, they probably run as well because they don't understand really the word. They understand the sound, the musical tone of the voice or whatever. So you know, I can say words and they will respond. So I know that is possible. But to what degree they understand, I don't know. And as I mentioned earlier, I have three cats, and originally, we had two of them. They were sisters. And one of them, we had Snorky and we had Gracie. And when Gracie was very young, probably about a year old, she got FIP and she ended up having to be put to sleep. And I've always kind of... The other cat behaved very strangely when sister never came home. You know, we had to put sister in the carrying case and then we left, and they'd been together their whole lives. And when we returned without Gracie, you know, the other cat, after a couple of days, I don't want to say the cat got depressed because I don't know what the cat was feeling, but the cat was very lethargic. The cat was eating more. The cat started to kind of get heavy. And I always kind of wondered, like, does the cat know? I mean, the cat obviously can't find the other cat, but does it know it's gone? Does the cat, after a year, does it remember its sister? Does Snorky remember that it had a sister named Gracie? Or after a year, is it completely forgotten? I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. And every now and then, to this day, this is like 4 years later, every now and then I will say Gracie's name, and the other cat will perk its head up and look around like maybe its sister is around. So I don't do it very often because I kind of feel bad in case the cat does remember and is hoping that its sister is there. But it does look up and look around, and it doesn't, you know, I could say a million words, and you know how cats are. You can say a million words, the cat will completely ignore you. But when I say Gracie, the cat looks around. So there's part of me that thinks it remembers its sister from 4 years ago. And I've read a lot of articles about, like, animal memories. Like, will a cat remember something 12 years later? Like, if you move, for example, if you went back to the old house 12 years later, would it remember where its litter box is? You know, and they believe that cats do remember for a long time. So I've always been interested in this thing, and I've always been interested in, it's particularly with apes, when you can actually have a conversation back and forth with a gorilla, with an ape, with a chimpanzee, when you're doing sign language. What can you ask the ape? I mean, can you ask? I mean, the sign language is largely very simple, you know, me hungry, me love apple, stuff like that. But how abstract is the thought of these apes? You know, how do they explain to this ape that Robin Williams was dead? You know, did the ape understand what death even is? And if it does, what does it think about it? These things have always intrigued me. So anyway, that article is up there at slate.com. You can check it out. Just Google apes and Robin Williams. You can probably check out the video there. More from Twitter here. What are people saying here on Twitter? Bonobo, this guy says. So he has corrected me. Skill Crane here says that numerology trick works like a charm. Sounds like a party trick waiting to happen. What I need is a mathematician to come on here and explain how this trick works, because I am no good at math, and so I don't really understand how all of this addition and subtraction comes out with my phone number, but apparently it works, so that's really all I know. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Brian. This is Kirk from Canada calling.
Kirk, what's happening? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah. I just kind of had an odd schedule, but now I can listen in tonight there.
Well, what's going on?
Nothing much. I was just listening to your thing on animals there. And it's quite neat how they sense things, like natural disasters.
That's right.
How they kind of run off and, you know, like, for example, during the tsunami that hit, you know, Thailand there, they noticed that a lot of the animals ran into the woods before it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've never had like a natural disaster around here, but every time my cats are like acting really weird, I'm always kind of like, I hope a meteor isn't about to hit my house, or like we're going to have the big Seattle earthquake or something like that. And but yeah, animals seem to be able to sense when these things are coming.
Yeah. Luckily, nothing like that will happen where I live, except maybe tornadoes, I think, are about the only thing that we can kind of get.
Do your animals sense tornadoes?
Not really.
Do you have animals?
Oh, yeah, I have a couple cats.
Cats, and do they speak English, so to speak? Do they understand words, or have you not attempted to train them?
They understand certain words. A lot of times, I think they understand more than they let on.
Sure.
Because a lot of times they choose to ignore you.
Well, of course, they're cats.
Yeah.
What kind of words do they know?
Actually, the one cat, when he's, you'll say, come here, and he'll actually come to you.
So he understands, come here.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Do you have dogs?
I've had dogs in the past.
And the number one question, obviously, and I know the correct answer, but which of the two animals is more intelligent?
They're equally stupid.
They're equally stupid?
Yeah.
How about that?
I know. Yeah, it's just because I've seen dogs do some incredible things, too.
I've seen dogs do very incredible things, but I've also seen them do much dumber things than I've seen cats do.
True.
So it's hard to...
I've known some stupid cats in the past.
Yeah. I have cats that are like, you know, they'll jump and they'll miss. Kind of stupid stuff like that. But that's more stupid athleticism.
Yeah.
They always seem, in fact, I really should put this out. In fact, I did put it on my Twitter. If you're on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, yeah. Go up there and check out the photos. And I got a photo yesterday of one of my cats sitting on top of like a bookshelf looking down on me. And as God is my witness, if you've seen this photo, this cat is smirking at me. It's smirking. It's the craziest picture I've ever taken of a cat. You've got to check this out.
Actually, your cat looks almost identical to mine, strangely enough.
Does your cat smirk?
He doesn't smirk, but it's general sort of brown and black tabby, kind of like yours.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very intelligent.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I just saw a video yesterday of this guy who trained his dog to literally balance on a tightrope.
Really?
On its back two legs.
Walking on its hind legs?
On its hind legs.
Really?
Yeah, I guess the dog uses its tail. It's a border collie, which should show you right there. Border collies are known for being one of the smart breeds.
Sure.
So, and obviously, yeah.
And this video is online?
It was some sort of science show I was watching.
Oh, a science show, I see. So I can't just Google dog tightrope? Maybe I can, actually.
You might be able to find it. It was a video and a bunch of these actual scientists, like, I know Corinne Bondar is one of them.
Holy smokes, there it is right there. It's the first thing that comes up when you type in dog tightrope.
Yeah, he starts on four legs and then goes up to two.
Oh, my God. Now I got to watch this. I'll turn the volume down to not distract everybody. Have you seen the photo of the bear walking on its hind legs, the video of that?
Yes, I have.
What do you think
I've
about
actually seen? I've seen bears do that before. That's not usually a good sign.
Okay, I'm watching this video now. There is, in fact, a tightrope. It's not very long, and it's not very high, everybody. This is not Evel Knievel going over the Snake River or anything like that. The dog is taking its sweet time. Quite frankly, it looks pretty terrified. I don't know what this guy has offered the dog to get it to walk the tightrope, but it is, in fact, now got 3 feet on the rope. Now it has got all 4 feet on the rope. It is shaking like crazy, but it has not fallen off yet. And you're telling me this dog is going to stand up on his hind legs now?
Yep, they should if it's the same video.
Oh my God, look at this dog. It's just crazy. Like, is this dog that hard up for food that it's willing to walk this tightrope to get a snack?
Dogs will do anything for food.
Yeah, this might be a different video because he's not getting up on his hind legs.
And, yeah, my experience with bears is usually if they're standing on their hind legs, that's not usually a good sign.
No, it's either that you've seen a werewolf or it's that the bear has got some sort of injury, and then it might be an angry bear.
It's usually a sign of aggression.
Oh, really? No, yeah. This is walking. Like, this bear is walking along the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That was weird.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to thank you very much for the call and for pointing out the amazing tightrope walking dog here. Apparently, I've got the I have not got the good video because this dog is he's not on his hind legs. He's doing a heck of a job balancing. Oh, he fell off halfway across, and then he got his ball. I guess he did all that for a ball. That's one of the reasons. I don't want to start a debate here. If you want to call and debate me, the dog cat intelligence, you're welcome to. But like when I'm trying to train my cats will only do what I ask if there's food on the line. Whereas these dogs will walk a tightrope like a wild beast just so it can play with a ball. So I have to give the edge to the cats for the intelligence based on that fact right there. By the way, that dog took about 2 minutes to try and walk that tightrope. So if you got some spare time, you can head over there and check that out. Let's see here. Brandon in the email has noted that it worked for him. This numerology game we're doing here. This addition game using the phone number. Maybe I'll do that one again up at the top of the hour if you want to check that one out. The phone numbers, everybody. This is After Dark Radio. We are live here on August 22nd, 2014. After Dark Radio on the Dark Matter Radio Network. The phone number is 855-478-4478. Toll free in the United States and Canada, 855-478-4478. West of the Rockies, we are at 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. I know there are a lot of you out there listening right now, and I know you are just itching to call the program here tonight. I usually get a log of people that have called in using the 800 number. And interestingly enough, often when I'm live, I'm asking for phone calls and nobody calls. And then last week, we just happened to do a taped show. And during that taped show, apparently people were calling all night long. So I don't know if it was the show or the guest or just a good Friday or what, but you are welcome to call. Send your emails to brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Use After Dark in the subject line. Anything that is on your mind for the phone calls, for the emails, for the Twitter, all of the phone numbers, everything else is up at afterdarkradioshow.com. All right, what else have we got here in the news? This is very interesting. This is from Movoto.com. This is a list of, it is a map, and it shows the states where most people believe in the supernatural. From the wildly weird to the positively paranormal, the people in these top 10 states are absolutely absorbed by the abnormal. What it says here, there's a map. Dark, dark green means believers. Light, light, light green means non-believers. So essentially you can mouse over this map and you can get all sorts of information about your state. So let's give this a shot. First off here, I'll read some of this. Have you ever wondered if there are aliens? Is Bigfoot real? Have you ever thought maybe you were psychic or that your house was haunted? You are not alone. A huge portion of the population, 75% of the U.S. population by some estimates, believes in or at least is fascinated by the supernatural subjects. Some areas more than others. Here's the Movoto Real Estate blog. Checking out each of these states and telling you how each state ranks in terms of belief in the supernatural. The best states for believers. 1 through 10. Are you ready? The number one state for believers in the paranormal is New Mexico. That's right. Number two, Wyoming. Number three, Nevada. Number four, Maine. Number five, West Virginia. Number six, Oklahoma. Number seven, Rhode Island. Number eight, my own Washington State. Number nine, North Dakota. And number 10, Kentucky. So yes, Pahrump, Nevada, the home of Art Bell, ranks only number three behind Wyoming of all things. How do they rank this, it says here? We are math nerds, so we decided to rank states using numbers rather than opinion. So using Facebook, we checked to see what percentage of the state's population had an interest in the paranormal, that being UFOs, ghosts, possessions, etc. Cryptids, that of course being mythical creatures, mysterious beings, Bigfoot, etc. Psychic phenomenon, seances, palmistry, messages from beyond the grave, as well as the Illuminati, conspiracy and shadow organizations. At first, we ranked each place in each category from 1 to 50, etc., etc., etc. So, looking at the top 10 here, New Mexico is ranked number one, largely, and obviously, of course, due to Roswell. This is the state where a mysterious craft crash-landed all those years ago, sending the area into a panic, it said. That's not exactly what happened, but it makes for a good story. New Mexico had the second most people who list the paranormal as an interest. It had the 10th most people who like cryptids, and the 8th most people who are fascinated by psychic stuff. The biggest number here, however, was the highest number of locals who were interested in the Illuminati. With all the conspiracy rumors and potential cover-ups, we suppose it makes sense that this state would be a little more suspicious. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Brian. It's Lee in St. Louis. How are you tonight?
You are in St. Louis, you say?
Yes.
All right. Hold on 1 second. We're going to see where your state ranks. Where is Missouri? Help if I could find Missouri on a map. There we go. Missouri ranked 33, my friend. It's ranked 16th in paranormal believers, 27 in cryptid believers, 31 in psychic believers, and 41 in believers in the Illuminati. One of the least paranormal states in the Union, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I wasn't included in the Illuminati survey, I guess.
I guess not.
First I wanted to tell you that the interview 2 weeks ago with Dr. Jeffrey Long was fantastic. Maybe my most favorite show you've done so far in After Dark.
Wow, yeah, thank you.
Excellent. And I was calling in. I just finished a book from another past guest, David Hatcher Childress. I just finished his Technology of the Gods, The Incredible Sciences of the Ancients.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely recommend for anybody who would listen to the show. I found that to be very fascinating. I mean, the one thing that didn't surprise me, because, I don't know, I think you kind of feel the same way, that intelligent people throughout time, that, they might not have had, the same available, technology, obviously, or same resources that we have today, but, if you're a genius then, you're a genius now. And I think we see a lot of that with discoveries they've made as far as different tools and how they, were able to manipulate things then, and then when they compare it to what we have now, it's, we haven't improved upon it at all.
Well, let me ask you this question about the technology of the ancients. I feel that the idea that 5,000, 10,000 years ago, that these human beings were like these primitive savages that couldn't accomplish anything, and the idea that they could create these pyramids is preposterous. I don't buy that for a bit. As you noted, I believe that everybody in every era, you've got some really, really smart people, and, that while they didn't have the internet, I mean, they did have a lot of free time. They spent a lot of time. They had a lot of time to scan the skies, and I'm sure their knowledge of the heavens was probably pretty incredible compared to your average person on the street here today. But when I read stuff about, they probably had airplanes and skyscrapers and all of the technology we have today, but it's just all been decimated. I don't quite know if I buy that.
Yeah, I mean, when he gets into his ending theory is that there was a nuclear holocaust around 10,000 BC. That's what took out some of these civilizations. What I thought was kind of the more relevant point was that, as he says, that history has been written by the winners, and so throughout the millennia, either kings have tried to erase anything before them to give the appearance that history begins with them, and just the destruction of literature and science throughout time, that any information that was available is long gone just because of politics at that time, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, what is interesting is I have read that there are places where if you dig down underneath the sand, you can find essentially like a glass sheet, which is essentially what would happen if a nuclear bomb went off. The sand would be, I guess, turned to glass. I don't really understand all of this. I just remember reading it somewhere, and that they have found places where there is a sheet of glass. I don't know if that means that the ancients had somehow found a way to create a nuclear device, or maybe that was created by something else, like a meteor hitting the Earth or something like that, but that is kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, that's also mentioned in the book, that once they did the initial nuclear testing, that the description of the green glass that the sand had turned into in the Nevada desert, that it raised the eye of some geologists who had made these discoveries in the Middle East, and they've linked it to the idea of a meteor, something along those lines. But kind of his counter to that is that you don't have this hole or anything; you just have the appearance of this sand.
Well, he's right, but if you recall, like we had when we were doing the astronomy, basically we were on kind of an astronomy kick, and we had the guy on talking about meteors and asteroids. I mean, whatever came into the atmosphere over Tunguska flattened miles and miles and miles of forest, but it didn't actually impact the Earth, so it didn't leave a crater. So it could have been something similar where it was a meteor that caused that. And since the meteor blew up in the atmosphere as opposed to hitting the Earth, there was no crater left.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call, Brian. You have a great night. And I'll call in again soon.
All right. Thanks. I really appreciate the call. You can call in, everybody, 855-478-4478. That is toll free in the United States and Canada, 855-478-4478. West of the Rockies, we're at 425-488-0525. That is 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. All of these numbers are up at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. That is the website. Brian@WrestlingObserver.com is my email. That is also linked up at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. And make sure you put After Dark in the subject line. We're taking phone calls through the duration of the show. Don't be shy, everybody. In fact, if you call in, I will tell you facts about your state in terms of this paranormal map that we have been looking at here. Washington State, which is my home state. Paranormal believers ranked number 20. Psychic believers ranked number 22. Illuminati believers, 14. Wow. I don't know why that is. But obviously the reason we are ranked number 8 should come as no surprise. Cryptid believers. That being believers in Bigfoot, for example. Which actually begs the question, what is number one in cryptid believers? It's Wyoming. Wow. I would not have expected Wyoming. Alaska comes in number two, which should surprise nobody since a very wooded state, obviously. In general here, it says UFOs are a problem in New Mexico. Maryland has never seen Ghostbusters. I guess that means that Maryland is, Maryland. Maryland doesn't believe in anything. Ranked 49 in paranormal believers out of 50. Ranked dead last in cryptid, dead last in psychic believers, and 48 in Illuminati believers. So if you're from Maryland, you probably aren't listening to this show. Actually, we should find out. Our illustrious webmaster, Keith, if you have got a list of all of the people listening live right now, maybe kind of do a quick scan and tell us if we've got anybody listening from Maryland, which ranks very, very, very bottom of this list, ranked number 50 out of 50 for Maryland. And it says here, the South generally does not believe in ghosts, which actually surprises me, since obviously we... when I was in New Orleans, we took that haunted tour. I guess New Orleans is at least a little bit better. Mississippi, no belief in ghosts. Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. None of those states really believe in ghosts. Although Florida does, which shouldn't be a surprise since cryptid believers ranked number 19. Swamp ape. For example, Minnesota also ranked low. What else do we have here? Number two, Wyoming. Talking about the jackalope here. A lot of interest in the Illuminati. Nevada, obviously, Area 51, so a lot of Bigfoot stuff. Maine, it says here, watch out for shadows in the woods. Maine walked away with a first place ranking for interest in psychic phenomenon, and ninth most people interested in cryptids, and the eighth most people interested in the paranormal as a whole. West Virginia celebrates the supernatural. That, of course, the home of Point Pleasant, which is where the legend of the Mothman began. And in fact, if you head to Point Pleasant, They've got a freaky looking statue, it says right here, with a of a huge bipedal creature with wings. They have a Mothman statue. Oklahoma, a lot of ghosts. A lot of ghosts in Oklahoma. Rhode Island, a vampire. Says in 1892, there was a young woman named Mercy Brown who died, along with most of her family, of tuberculosis. After she died, there were more mysterious deaths in the village, and people began to suspect that someone in the family was a vampire. They exhumed the corpses, and horrifyingly, it says here, which I'm not sure is a word, Mercy's body was not decomposing. In a fit of brilliance, they burned her heart, and they mixed it with water as a drinkable cure for her sick brother, who died anyway. Not exactly a tale you want to tell the kids before bed, but that's what happened in Rhode Island. A pretty strong connection there with supernatural, vampires, etc. Washington, of course, my hometown, or my home state, here in Bothell, Washington. 14th most people illuminated or interested, perhaps illuminated in the Illuminati. And Washington has the most sightings in the nation of Bigfoot. Should come as no surprise. It is very forested around here. North Dakota, there is the Thunderbird, which has shown up in petroglyphic art and with sightings as recently as 2009. I was unaware of that, 2009. Let's see here. And then Kentucky, home of the original Green Goblins. I'm sure you've all heard of Hopkinsville, if I recall correctly. It doesn't actually even name the city here, but yes. There you go. I've got a report from Keith here. It says that, in fact, four people are listening from Maryland. So there you go. The most skeptical state in the nation. We still managed to have four listeners. So congratulations to you guys right now, being breaking away from the pack. All righty. This person here, Andrew, says, a subject to talk about. Why do people see shadow people? What are they? Someday we're going to have to do a show on this because too many people have been asking. And there was a response here on Twitter. Savage Sock says, I saw one about a year ago up close and personal, and I have been trying to get answers ever since. Well, listen, Savage Sock, if you are listening right now, give me a call or drop me an email, brian@wrestlingobserver.com, after dark in the subject line. I want to hear your story of seeing a shadow person. So either give me a call or email me. All of the information is up at afterdarkradioshow.com. And also here on Twitter, this is from, let's see here, Will. Will believes he has found the video of the dog on its hind legs walking the tightrope. So I'm going to check this out. Nana, it says here, is trained exclusively with the use of positive reinforcement and clicker training. So if this is the video, I'm going to retweet it for everybody. Here is the dog walking backwards on its hind legs. And here he is doing, I swear to God, a cheerleader trick on this guy's shoes. But I can't seem to find. He's just doing all sorts of crazy tricks. I haven't found the tightrope yet. It's an 8-minute video, so I'll have to watch this another day. But this is a very amazing dog. And he does do a lot of running, walking, and dancing on his hind legs. He's dancing on his hind legs with his trainer right now. If you want to check it out, just Google Nana the Border Collie performs amazing dog tricks. So there you go. All right. What else have we got here? Again, give me a call. I'll tell you more about your state. So we're talking about dolls, and I got to read this here. This is from allaboutoccult.com. About covers it, by the way. All About Occult. Oh, God. Every time I look at this picture, I'm just like, I gotta tweet this one. I'm going to tweet it out right now, everybody, at Brian Alvarez. Creepy doll who grows old. Boom. All right, if you go up to my Twitter, you can follow along here on this tale. It has been some time, it says here, since I posted on one of these creepy, disturbing nightmares that were long forgotten until they decided to come back from their graves of oblivion to master your sleep and haunt your imagination. Here is a creepy tale long thrust into oblivion till one unsuspecting lady decides to open her attic after decades of ignorance only to find a once attractive boy doll shriveled into a mummy. It says here, when dolls decompose, they can take up the most ghastly forms. Eyes popping out, the plastic decaying, jaws dropping, limbs broken, and so on. In fact, the most macabre of artistic pieces are made of dolls. There are creepy dolls selling on eBay just to satisfy your morbid curiosity. But here's a chilling tale to which none stands in comparison, it says. Jim Eaton, who is a paranormal investigator and Ghostbuster, compiled many a creepy tale in his two-part book series called Ghosts Caught on Film. There is one such creepy tale from one of his many experiences, which began with a seemingly normal family purchasing a seemingly normal doll for their seemingly normal daughter on a seemingly normal occasion. She is given this doll. You're probably wondering the details of the family in question. They have never been brought forth. They have insisted on anonymity, but there was an issue that occurred, and they locked the doll in the attic. It says the doll, thus locked up, was forgotten for several years. However, about 11 years later, the inhabitants decided it was time to reshuffle their attic. To their surprise, as they continued their cleaning expedition, out came a wrinkly old remnant of what might be called a doll. It was, however, just like a human grown old. The wrinkles, the skin, and even two large staring eyes were so realistic that they became the most creepy part of this doll of wonders. And this article has been tweeted out on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. We'll get back to it in a moment. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Corey in Maryland.
Corey? Oh, my God, in Maryland, you say?
Yep.
You're one of the only ones. There's only three other people in the whole state that are into the paranormal.
Well, I figured I'd go ahead and call in.
How about that? Well, what are your interests?
I mean, right now I'm just hanging out. The Simpsons marathon is on. I'm drinking some beer and kind of hanging out.
Kind of hanging out. What are your, do you have interests in the paranormal or you just like the show?
I do like the show. I mean, I came, as a wrestling fan.
Sure.
And, but I this is one of the more interesting shows because it's so different from, you know, all the other podcasts that you do on a regular basis.
Well, that's true. Are you a hardened skeptic?
You know, I wouldn't say hardened. I think I have a pretty open mind. But if you had to ask me yes or no if I believed in, you know, ghosts or things like that, I'd probably say no. But
well, let's play the game then.
Mind over matter.
Let's play the game then. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
No. Do you believe in haunted dolls?
No.
Okay. No. Okay, so now I got to ask the other question. If somebody came to you, however, and they said, I've got this doll, and it's haunted, and I would like you to take it in, and it was really creepy looking, would you take the chance?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good, then. That's an open mind. Bigfoot.
You know, I probably would have said no before I started listening to these shows, but, you know, I think it could be out there.
I got to agree with you on that one. The Patterson-Gimlin film, what do you think? Man in a suit or perhaps some sort of beast?
I do think it's probably a man in a suit.
Really? You think it's a man in a suit? How about that? UFOs.
I mean, aliens not necessarily visiting, maybe, you know, further out there.
Sure.
So probably no. I have to say no.
So the, whatever crashed in Roswell was probably some sort of military hullabaloo?
That would probably make the most sense.
Okay. So I presume you don't believe in the Loch Ness Monster.
I don't know if there's a Loch Ness Monster there, but I mean, there could definitely be things we don't know about in the water.
Sure. So maybe not a plesiosaur, but maybe some sort of whale, for example, a misplaced something's there.
Yeah. I could see that.
All right. What about werewolves?
I don't believe in those.
Unlikely. I agree with you on that one. What else have we got? Mothman, Spring-Heeled Jack, any of those?
You know, those are probably, you know, situational. People think they see something.
Sure.
Maybe that is what they saw, but, you know, I think maybe more in their mind.
Yeah. What about psychic phenomenon?
I mean, yeah, I guess I could believe in that. I mean, because, again, it's more... more about the mind than anything else.
Sure. All right, one last question. Around here in Washington, if I can drive down certain roads, and you know how they've got those yellow, like, deer crossing signs? Every now and then, I will see a Sasquatch crossing sign. If you go into bookstores, there are all sorts of books about Bigfoot and all this stuff. There's the occult section, everything like that. Is it like that in Maryland, or is it just sort of, is this true that if you go to a bookstore, you'll have a hard time finding the occult section?
I think you would have a hard time finding the occult section. I don't think that there's a lot of what you're describing in this area, at least not where I live. I'm in Rockville, which is kind of a suburb of D.C., and there's not a whole lot of that.
How about that? Well, listen, I want to thank you very much, not only for calling, but for being a supporter in a very anti-paranormal state.
You're very welcome.
I very much appreciate it. Thanks so much for the call tonight. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm calling from Adams, Tennessee.
Tennessee. All right, let me check out your state here before we go any further. What is the name of the city?
Adams. It's there's a historical cave here that it's called the Bell Witch, and it was actually the only presidential inquiry into a haunting.
Really? Okay, hold on. First off, you are ranked number 19, number 12 in paranormal believers, 26 in cryptid believers, 17 in psychic believers, and 32 in believers of the Illuminati. Tell me more about the Bell Witch.
More about the Bell Witch. Well, there's a lot of different variations of the story. The part with the president coming here, it was Andrew Jackson from the state. He is coming from Nashville. This is probably 50 miles from Nashville. He took a horse ride here. Apparently got close to the cave. The horse wouldn't go anywhere, was spooked, and he just ended up turning around and going back. He said he thought it was real. But there were senators and there was a lot of people who apparently saw this apparition, and it was a poltergeist in nature. It was throwing things around the room and that sort of thing.
So was Andrew Jackson was he just passing through and decided to investigate, or, I mean, did he come out there strictly to check
he
out?
He strictly came here to investigate it because there were so many people that said that it was real and it was happening.
Wow.
And it apparently was started by a curse from a woman who was taken off of her land, and she cursed the owner of the land, and because she was leasing the land, and she put a curse on him, and apparently, but there's a lot of variations, and they actually did a few different movies. on based upon that story. So
is there still legends going on today?
Oh yeah. You can go. It's an actual historical Tennessee historical spot. And people say that the woman who owns it gets boxes and boxes of rocks shipped back to her, because apparently if you take a rock from this cave, that bad things will happen to you. So she gets boxes of rocks sent back to her from people taking rocks.
So have you how deeply have you investigated? Have you gone to take a rock?
No, I didn't take a rock. I was accused by the rest of my family. We lived here for 8 or 9 years, and we finally decided to go check it out. It's pretty neat. I'm not so much a skeptic, but I do. I'm somebody who I generally think you can write a lot of it off with simple explanations or your own imagination taking control of it.
Yeah, but you never know.
Yeah, no, but I always keep an open mind about it all. I find it interesting, that's just the way I was raised, was to keep an open mind about things. So
that's right.
What I try to do.
That's right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. That's awesome. Thanks so much.
All right, man.
Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, the Bell Witch. I remember one time, I don't remember all the details of the show, but I remember Art did a show on the Bell Witch, and he, of course, is Art Bell. So there you go, the Bell Witch. I'm pretty skeptical about things, but I always keep an open mind. I'm not taking any haunted dolls into this house, I'm just telling you. Let's see here. Savage Sock says, I missed your email address. Let me know when you do a show on the Shadow People. I will call in for sure. Heidi Hollis is good. All right, so maybe we'll have to check that out. Email brian@wrestlingobserver.com. After Dark in the subject line. The email address is up at afterdarkradioshow.com, as are all of the phone numbers. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Give us a call. Let's see what we have here. What is this? A guest on Jimmy Church mentioned the area, and I found this. What do you think? What is it? North Pacific Ocean. Apparently, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe Keith can alert me as to what I'm looking at here, because I don't know. North Pacific Ocean to the North Pacific Ocean. What does this mean? If anybody listening to the Jimmy Show and knows what's going on here, alert me, because I am out of the loop, apparently. All right, back to this this creepy doll. Let's see. At first, unable to recognize, the family was surely surprised. But later, seeing the clothes and dressing, they recognized it as the same shining baby doll that had once they had once bought for their child. This doll, by the way, if you dare, you can go to my Twitter @BrianAlvarez and check out the photograph. It is, this doll appears to now be mummified. Why? I don't know, but it's terrifying. So. Check it out. A lot of comments here about this, especially about Robert the doll, another haunted doll. I don't know why these haunted dolls are always so terrifying. You never see like a cute haunted doll. Alrighty. Oh, by the way, I should mention this. A couple of things here before we get back to the news. Svictor here says he's got a song for this show. He says, I made you an After Dark song around the time you got your show on the Art Bell website. I sent it before. I'm not sure if you heard it. This is from Victor. It is a song, I guess, dedicated to this show.
Brian.
They'll take you.
Brian.
Gray aliens, in fact, are coming to Earth because they lack something that we have.
There are people who die and are brought back.
Brian.
I see shadow people.
Something to frighten me. Frighten me.
Brian. I knew things were wrong. No one else saw.
Forever.
Brian.
The societal implications of living forever. Is that Art Bell saying Brian? Must fell out of my chair right there. There you go. That is from Victor. Has put that song together. So there you go. All right. I promised this earlier. Actually, hold on. Before I get to the numerology game again, Matt has emailed me, and I've got to, I see, unfortunately. Matt says, I can't call in. Wife and kids sleeping. I'm about to go to bed as well. It is a long story, but worthwhile. Email me if and when you do a show on the shadow people. Not sure if you've heard Heidi Hollis talk about them before, but she has been on Coast. So that is from Matt, who's seen a shadow person. I guess I will have to get on that. Heidi Hollis. Garrett, if you are listening right now, Heidi Hollis. Let's try to book her and talk about these shadow people. Brandon here says the numerology test worked for him. All right. Those of you tuning in late, or if you didn't have a chance earlier, I'm going to give you a 30-second warning to go grab yourself a calculator, and we are going to do this numerology game, which is magic. It's magic. And Keith here says that Heidi has been on the Dark Matter Radio Network. Good guest, good audio, has her own show. So I guess we will work really hard to get her on. Talking about the shadow people. Gerald here says, have you ever noticed how old people are obsessed with those creepy porcelain dolls? I know my grandmother has a bunch. I guess it is kind of, I think it's just something from the era. You know, a lot of porcelain dolls I know I've heard my grandma talk about it. When she was a kid, she had dolls. I mean, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have TV. She was born in 1929. She was born 1 month after the Great Depression. Actually, not even a month, a week. She was born 1 week after the Great Depression hit. So they had nothing. All they had were, it was a big deal when you were a little kid in her generation, especially for her, to get a doll. So, I can see a lot of old people being obsessed with those dolls. I certainly was not. In fact, when I was a little kid, just a quick tale, I was a big fan of Sesame Street. Such a big fan, by the way, that I insisted that my parents were only allowed to refer to me as Ernie from Bert and Ernie. I would not respond to Brian. They had to call me Ernie. And to this day, my dad every now and then will still call me Ern. And all my friends just don't even understand what's going on. But the point of this is, I was a big fan of Bert and Ernie. And so I had an Ernie doll. And one day, I gave it to my grandma. I guess I'd grown out of it. And she put it in the back seat of her car in the rear window. And she drove around that with that thing in her back window for like 15 years until the sun had decimated that Ernie doll. It had been virtually turned to ashes. And then she went and she bought a new one. I think it's back there to this day. So God bless. I love my granny. All right. The numerology game. You have been given fair warning to grab yourself a calculator. And we're going to do this game. So listen very carefully to the instructions. I will go very, very slowly. and let's see if this works for you. Grab a calculator, and I want you to type into the calculator the first three digits of your phone number. The first three digits, not including the area code. So if your phone number is 425-486, blah, 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 type in the 486. So that's the first thing. Type in the first three digits, non-area code, of your phone number. Now you are going to multiply by 80, 80. Now you are going to add 1. You're going to multiply that number by 250. Now you're going to add the last four digits of your phone number. Now you're going to add the last four digits of your phone number again. Now subtract 250 and then divide that number by 2. And the number that should remain should be your phone number. So there you go. Some magic. Magic right there. This all the way, by the way, is all from the book that we've been talking about here, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. We are hopefully going to get the author of this book on in a couple of weeks. Scheduled for tonight, but apparently was feeling ill. And so we were unable to do our live interview. And what I would like to do here is read some interesting facts. I'm sure many of you have probably heard this before. This is from the book. And you may have heard of some of the coincidences between John F. Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln. Now, I was aware of a lot of these before, not going to lie. But I don't know if it's just time has passed or what. But there are significantly more links today than there were when I first heard about this. So I'm going to read some of these here in just a moment. Eric, by the way, just tweeted that it worked for him. So there you go. The magic of numerology. He got my number. So there you go. Little do you all know that as you do this game, I'm getting every single one of your phone numbers as a result of this. Not really. Alrighty here. A lot of people telling me this worked. It's amazing. Lincoln-Kennedy links. Abraham Lincoln elected to Congress 1846. John F. Kennedy elected to Congress 1946. Abe Lincoln elected president 1860. John F. Kennedy 1960. Both were concerned with civil rights. Both were shot on a Friday. Both were shot in the head. Lincoln's secretary was named Kennedy, and Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln. Both were assassinated by Southerners. Both were succeeded by Southerners named Johnson. Andrew Johnson, who succeeded Lincoln, born 1808. Lyndon Johnson, who succeeded Kennedy, born 1908. John Wilkes Booth, who, screwed up my own thing right here. John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated Lincoln, was born in 1839. Lee Harvey Oswald, 1939. Both assassins known by three names, which of course is every assassin. Both names composed of 15 letters. Lincoln was shot at a theater named Ford. Kennedy was shot in a Lincoln car made by Ford. Lincoln was shot in a theater. Assassin ran to a warehouse. Kennedy was shot from a warehouse. Assassin ran to a theater. Booth and Oswald assassinated before their trials. A week before Lincoln was shot, he was in Monroe, Maryland. A week before Kennedy was shot, he was with Marilyn Monroe. How about that? Lincoln's name, seven letters. Kennedy's name, seven letters. In Lincoln and Kennedy's names, the vowels and consonants fall in exactly the same place. In the order CVCCVCC. War thrust upon Lincoln immediately after inauguration. War thrust upon Kennedy almost immediately after inauguration. Lincoln ordered Treasury to print its own money. Kennedy ordered the Treasury to print its own money. International bankers may have arranged the assassination of both men. Lincoln gave Negroes, it says here, freedom and legalized equality. Kennedy enforced equality for Negroes, it says. Lincoln delivered Gettysburg Address November 19, 1863. Kennedy assassinated November 22, 1963. Lincoln sitting beside his wife when he was shot. Kennedy sitting beside his wife when he was shot. Rathbone, who was with Lincoln when he was shot, was injured by being stabbed. Connally was also injured by being shot. Both men's names have eight letters, Rathbone and Connally. Lincoln's bodyguard was away from his post at the door of the president's box at the theater. Kennedy's bodyguards were away from their posts on the running boards of the car. Neither man died immediately after being shot. They both died in places beginning with the initials P and H. Lincoln died in Peterson's house, Kennedy in Parkland Hospital. There were conspiracy theories that Johnson had knowledge about Lincoln's assassination, and there were conspiracy theories that Johnson had knowledge of the Kennedy assassination. Days before it happened, Lincoln told his wife and friends about a dream he'd had of being shot by an assassin. And hours before it happened, Kennedy told his wife and friends it would be easy for an assassin to shoot him from the crowd. Shortly after Lincoln was shot, telegraph system went down. Shortly after Kennedy was shot, the telephone system went down. Kennedy's father had been the ambassador to England. Lincoln's son had become the ambassador to England, both at the court of St. James. Now, both wives tastefully and expensively redecorated the White House. Now, Lincoln loved great literature, could recite it by heart, as could Kennedy. Both had young children while living in the White House. Lincoln's son had ponies they rode. Kennedy's daughter had a pony she rode, both on the grounds. Both lost a child while president. Lincoln had two sons named Robert and Edward. Edward died, Robert lived. Kennedy had brothers named Robert and Edward. Robert died and Edward lived. Lincoln's funeral train traveled from Washington to New York. Kennedy's brother's funeral train traveled from New York to Washington. The man running alongside Kennedy's car snapping pictures with a 35mm camera was a salesman of Lincoln cars. About that, Kennedy bought a Virginia home that was a 1861 Civil War headquarters of Lincoln's first general-in-chief, McClellan. Jefferson Davis, the name of the president of the Confederate States while Lincoln was president of the U.S., and Jefferson Davis Tippit was the name of the police officer. Can you believe that? Lincoln sitting in a rocking chair at Ford's Theater when he was shot, and Kennedy had a special rocking chair in the White House. Henry Ford bought the rocking chair Lincoln died in, put it in a museum, and Kennedy's seat in the Lincoln he was sitting in, also in the museum. And finally, Lincoln's seat in the Ford that he was sitting in when he was shot is in Ford's museum, as is Kennedy's seat in the Lincoln that he was sitting in when he was shot. That's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Also here, every 20 years, there was an assassination all the way through. Actually, I guess according to this, there would be one coming up in 2020. 1840, William Henry Harrison. 1860, Lincoln. 1880, James Garfield. 1900, William McKinley. 1920, Warren Harding. 1940, Roosevelt died in office. 60, Kennedy was assassinated. 80, Reagan survived. And it says here, 2000, George Bush survived an assassination attempt by a grenade in Russia. So there you go. Very, very strange number of coincidences here. Now let's see on the Twitter machine here. Gerald says, it did not work for me, unfortunately. Are you aware of any written directions on a site or anything that I could try again? This show will be up in about an hour at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. You can get the download, and we do it twice. So try it again. The first time I tried it, it didn't work. Because I had forgot to add the last four digits into my calculations both times. If you do it by the book, it should work. Kirk says the phone number thing worked for me. Totally wild. And Gerald here says, I just lost my mind with the brothers' inverted deaths and names. That's right. So there you go. A lot of very, very interesting coincidences in this book. You know, another thing that's always fascinated me is weird things in money. You know what I mean? Like the $100 bill, there's a lot of symbolism in our money. And there's a lot of information about that in this book as well. So hopefully we can get her on sometime in the next couple of weeks and try this again. All right, what else do we have here? Brandon worked for me. I think we did him as well, actually. This person wants me to get Jesse the Body Ventura here on the show. He's hosting his own podcast. He could talk about the JFK conspiracy and other conspiracies. I guess I could try and get Jesse the Body Ventura on the show. Never even talked to him about wrestling, believe it or not. So I could get to work on that. As far as this map here, the North Pacific Ocean, Keith Rowland has no idea what that's about, so I don't have an answer for you. All right, we got a few more minutes left here on the program. If you want to join the show, this is how it works. Give us a call toll-free, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. If you missed any of these numbers, they are right there on the front page, AfterDarkRadioShow.com. That is the website with all of the information on the phone numbers, AfterDarkRadioShow.com, as well as emails to Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. Make sure you put After Dark in the subject line. You can also send me tweets. I am monitoring my Twitter all night long here on the show. Here's a new one. This is from MysteriousUniverse.org. Apparently, Mysterious Universe is an organization. I was unaware of that. The Spectral Moose of Maine, one of the creatures, one of the categories of creatures that lies squarely somewhere out in the fringe twilight between cryptozoology and the paranormal, is the phenomenon of spectral animals. Britain, of course, we talked about that earlier, the ghost dog. Britain has a mysterious phantom black dog. The Midwest of the U.S. seems to be plagued by bizarre disappearing and reappearing kangaroos. And the list goes on and on. These are creatures that on the surface seem to be of a somewhat cryptozoological nature, yet on further inspection prove to not only be strange, but way too strange. And within this menagerie of the weird, one that certainly stands out among all of the strangeness is an apparition known as, are you ready for this? The Spectre Moose of Maine. The Spectre Moose was a mysterious creature spotted in several areas around Maine during the 1900s. It was described as being an enormous moose 10 to 15 feet high, with a ghostly, dirty white coloration, brandishing an immense set of formidable antlers. The coat of the animal is sometimes described as glowing faintly. The Spectre Moose was said to have an extremely acute sense of smell and hearing, as well as the ability to appear or disappear at will, as opposed to being unable to control its appearance or disappearance, I guess, and to phase through solid objects. Hunters who came across the apparition often told of not being able to get near enough for a shot, as well as the animal's rather disconcerting habit of suddenly blinking in or out of existence right before their eyes. A hunter by the name of Gilman Brown and his companion, a taxidermist by the name of Granville Gray, it's a great name, by the way, Granville Gray, described one encounter in which they tried to fire at the moose only for it to vanish before the bullets could hit it. It was first spotted in 1901. It was spotted again in 1917, 1932, 1938. A spirit moose. And by the way, if you want to go to the website, mysteriousuniverse.org, you can check out this story on the spectral moose of Maine. And you can also see photographs of a rare white moose, which is the weirdest looking thing you ever saw. A rare white moose. Researcher Michelle Solier rediscovered the story of the Spectre Moose after years of being mostly a forgotten legend. And she has done a lot of work to document and provide a chronology of sightings of the moose. Cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman has also written extensively on the matter in articles and blog postings. And more fascinating information on the history of this phantom animal can be found in Solier's book, Strange Maine. By the way, if Garrett, my producer, is listening right now, I would really love to have Lauren Coleman on the show. I tried to get Lauren Coleman on many years ago and got no response. And I know he'd probably love to plug his cryptozoology museum. I would love to talk to him about his books. I've read them. I think it would be a really fun show. So if you're listening right now, Garrett, see if you can get Lauren Coleman here on the program. A couple of Twitter things here. Another good guest to talk conspiracies with would be John B. Wells, who I guess is also doing his own podcast. And also Eric has sent this here, an article about what was found under the Antarctic ice. Let's see. This is actually from artbell.com. I suppose I probably have seen this. Today, scientists formalized the news we broke from the field early last year. Microbial life has been found 2,600 feet below the surface of the West Antarctic ice sheet in Lake Willens. A paper published in Nature Today reports nearly 4,000 species of microbes inhabit the lake, the first organisms ever retrieved from a subglacial Antarctic lake. How about that? I did see somewhere over the last couple of days, there was a story about microbial life being found, I believe, outside the International Space Station, if I recall correctly. I'm trying to figure out where I saw that, because that would certainly be fascinating. Most likely, microbial life that had originally been found here on Earth, but who knows? And I cannot seem to find it, so let me try one thing real quick. Space Station. Google is your friend, everybody. There it is. Bam! This is from the independent.co.uk. A new report claims that Russian scientists have discovered traces of marine life living on the exterior of the International Space Station. So marine life, I guess that would be residents of the Earth. Hold on one moment. To the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Shane from Orange County.
Shane, what's up? California.
California, yeah.
All right. Well, let's see where your state ranks, buddy, and we'll get going. 34. Right. Man. 38th in paranormal believers, 22 cryptids, 48 in psychic believers, and hey, way up at number 9, believers in the Illuminati.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. Speaking of that, I was going to say another good guest for you to put on the show would be Brian Kendrick. He's a big conspiracy nut, too.
Oh, I've had him on the show.
Oh, I need to go back and find that one then.
Oh, you sure do. Were you aware that the sun is cold?
Because you're not a big amount of mass, man, right?
I can't remember the explanation, but I was just confused because I went outside yesterday and the sun is warm, I'm telling you.
I think his explanation of it is because the Earth's so big, it's such a big thing of mass that the particles are hitting and making it hot. But yeah, that one.
So you've heard
that
this theory.
Threw me off too.
You've heard
I watched another one of his shoots a while ago, and he was on a big thing about that.
I see. How about that? What else is on your mind?
Nothing much really. The phone thing worked for me as well. That was pretty funny.
I was crazy.
Tripping out a little bit.
Oh yeah. It's.
I don't know if you know the. There's another one. It went around in my high school. It's Satan's phone number. It's 1-800-666. And if you see what it equals, it's pretty cool.
1-800-666?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. You know what we're going to do? We're going to call it. So hold on.
I don't know what it is.
I'm almost afraid to see who's going to answer.
Gonna be Teddy Hart.
Might be, actually.
Welcome to America's Hottest Talk.
Oh,
hello.
Family show. Had to cut it off.
Good times. Well, I just wanted to say thank you very much for, I was the guy that wanted you to retweet that thing for Candace for that charity walk. That was really cool of you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No problem. Hope it goes well.
Much,
all right, yeah, thanks so much.
I'll make sure to give you all the results from the PWG Battle of Los Angeles.
All right, sounds good. Don't call that number right, when we get off the air either.
Maybe.
Thanks for the call.
Have a good day, sir.
All right, yes. There you go. 1-800-666. How about that? There's a lot of talk in that book about 666 as well, so maybe we can do that one later as well. All right. We got to wrap it up, everybody. I'll finish this story here very quick regarding this microbial life. The official in charge of Russia's ISS segment told the news agency that tiny plankton and microscopic organisms had been discovered on the spacecraft's exterior, describing the finds as absolutely unique. So that is sea plankton. They don't know where it came from, it says here. The idea of life existing in the harsh environment of space, it says here, is quite possible, it says. A study found evidence of microbial life 5 to 10 miles above the surface of the planet. Well, a type of microscopic invertebrate known as a tardigrade has even survived the vacuum of space for 10 days, shrugging radiation exposure 100 times necessary that to kill humans. So there you go, microbial life on the space station. Pretty fascinating stuff. Well, everybody, I want to thank everybody so much for calling here today. I really appreciate it. Great, great night of phone calls. And as we speak, someone is calling. So what the heck? We got 2 minutes. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Ed from Cleveland.
Ed, what's up?
Any follow-up on the New Orleans tour guide?
You know, what's funny is we have been trying to get a hold of this guy and it is not working. So I have one other friend of mine who knows him that I might be able to get in touch, but it's not looking good right now.
Dang. Yeah, I loved the possibility of all that stuff and the whole witch coven thing. So
I will do my best. In fact, I'll make you a deal. If I can't get him on, I will try to find somebody else to come on and talk about it. How about that?
Excellent.
Where are you calling from again one more time?
Cleveland,
Ohio. So let's see where you rank before we wrap it up here today. Where the heck is Ohio? Crying out loud here. I haven't been in school in a long time.
Ohio, next to west of Pennsylvania.
West of Pennsylvania. What the heck is... Oh, there we go. I should have known that. 30. You're only ranked number 30 for crying out loud. 23 paranormal believers, 39 cryptids, 16 psychics, and 28 in Illuminati. So, I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, get your friends interested in this stuff, I guess.
We also do have the Lake Erie Monster called, not Nessie. But yeah, we have a Lake Erie Monster type thing, kind of like Loch Ness.
How about that? All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call here today. We're actually completely out of time, believe it or not, everybody. We got to wrap it up. So, of course, I want to thank all of you for calling in. Thank you so much tonight. Didn't have a guest, but you guys helped make this a great show, so I really appreciate it. Of course, thanks to our illustrious webmaster, Keith Rowland, the great Art Bell. All of you listening, make sure you check out artbell.com, Dark Matter Radio Network, as well as AfterDarkRadioShow.com and Facebook.com/AfterDarkRadioShow. We're out of here, everybody. Thanks again. We'll talk to you again next week.
Nearby Bridge Town.